The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Good afternoon. This is Donna Anselmo at AM 1060 WMEL, airing from Daytona to the Palm Beaches and the Space Coast into Orlando. We have a special guest with us today, and that is Mr. Frank DiBello, CEO and President of Space Florida. We have Pete Anselmo in the studio. We've even got Sarah Shell here from Space Florida with us. And we bring you special news every week on Bold Talk Business Radio, and particularly this week's edition is our Space Talk segment. When we're not doing space talk, and even when we are, we're talking about insights, strategies, tips, and tools for business success. And because the space industry is such a big part of what we do here, particularly on the Space Coast, and really with application for our lives globally, we've got Frank DiBello here, and we are very, very excited to be able to talk about the space program with him and different aspects of space and space industry and space tourism. So stay tuned for that, and stay tuned for some strategic insights on success strategies, a marketing tip, and a book recommendation today. We'll get to that later in the show. And Pete Anselmo, our co-host, is in the studio with us too. Hey, Pete.
How are you? Really thrilled to have Frank with us today. And we're very excited to talk about Space Florida, which is a major effort to bring funding and to bring business to the Florida and this entire region. So nice to have you with us today, Frank. And can you give us a little background on just exactly what Space Florida is, what their mission is?
Well, Pete and Donna, first of all, it's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure.
And I can tell you Space Florida was created by the legislature back in 2006. It was the assembly of a couple of other entities that were all involved in space-related either research or financing or economic development. And we were pulled together as a public corporation for the common good, but we were also given some very unique and special powers, especially involved with finance. We were created as an independent special district, which is a political identification, so that we have powers of a municipal authority in many respects, and that gives us the ability to finance, build, own, and operate infrastructure much the way a spaceport or a seaport or an airport would. So we can serve government to government at one level, which enables us to deal with the federal government, which is for the past 50 years been the primary drivers of the space program in Florida, and then turn around and cut a deal with industry on a commercial basis. And the reason we were created was to help grow the future of the space program, space industry in Florida, which is increasingly and inevitably more commercial.
Well, so, that's what I was going to ask you. That's yes. That's got to be a big transition for you, coming from the government funding and trying to move into more of a private commercial area.
Well, it's a transition that's been underway for a while. 1996 was the first year in which the revenues from commercial sources outpaced those of governments around the world. And in that year, I think it was 51% of the revenues came from commercial sources, primarily through the use of commercial satellites for telecommunications and for Earth observation services. Today, though, global revenues from space-related activities are $334 billion, and over 75% of those revenues come from commercial activities.
There was so much hoopla over changes in funding from government to the space program, particularly changes that also meant that we lost a lot of people in the space program here on the Space Coast. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between government funding and private funding from a kind of philosophical standpoint?
Well, I have tended to look at government programs, government as market, just like any other market. And the problem that I think has existed in Florida in the past is that the state was overly dependent on a large federal program, whether that was Apollo and the Moon program or the shuttle program. And in fact, we've allowed in both of those cases the majority of the infrastructure, the supply chain, and the workforce to be too dependent on the existence of that federal program, so that we were hurt when those programs came to an end, which all federal programs do tend to do, especially the project-related ones. Since 2006, we've been on a strategy for the state to, which is twofold, to diversify the space-related economy in Florida and to build the supply chain under each of some 10 market sectors that we identified that are increasingly, as I mentioned, and inevitably more commercial. That doesn't mean that federal programs and federal work are not good. They are. They represent a market. But the private sector looks to both serve federal markets as well as serve large and increasingly more rapidly growing commercial markets.
Very good. So one of the areas I want to talk about is the competition that exists or that is created in the commercial area, more so than, let's say, that was created in the federal area. Is that an impetus for growth?
Well, it very much is, but let me speak to competition at two levels. Globally, there are a large number of spacefaring nations, and today, if we look at the past 50 years, clearly major governments were the ones who were driving their space activities. Today, there are some 39 spaceports that are either existing or planned around the world, and that's because many countries see the beneficial effects of innovation and space serves as a catalyst for driving that innovation and well-being in their economies, and they all want to share in space activity. In the U.S. alone, there are some 17 or 18 spaceports either existing or planned. So we will see competition in the future from other countries as well as from other states. And within the industry, there is an increasing number of companies seeking to enter into it. And it depends on where they target as to ultimately how successful they can be. But they have to be driven by innovation as the hallmark of success in this industry, and that's what you see in the successful space companies.
I guess it's been put to rest, the idea that, why do we go into space? We're wasting money. And, you know, that whole notion of not, expanding the frontiers of space has been debunked completely.
Well, I've heard many arguments over time for why we go into space, everything from manifest destiny to survival of the species to spin-offs. And who doesn't love a good spin-off? There are thousands of them in our everyday lives. But as good a reason as spin-offs are, I think the real reason is that space is a driver for innovation. When nations invest in doing difficult things, especially in a space-related environment, they are creating a culture of innovation in their country, and that tends to drive growth in a whole variety of areas, not just space-related products. So that as you develop this culture of innovation, you're increasing the ability of an economy to innovate and keep fresh in the market, and that helps all sectors of an economy. And that is what I believe is the real benefit of going into space.
I think the what we see today is that the expansion of space-related businesses in Florida, and particularly on the Space Coast here, it's helping us in terms of strengthening the underpinnings of a good, strong economy in terms of job growth, in terms of the expansion of businesses. Can you talk a little bit about how businesses can take advantage of what it is that you offer.
Well, there's probably a long list of things that I could speak to, but when the shuttle program came to an end, there were some 9,135 workers, commercial and civilian workers, who were working on the program, most of whom did leave the program. About a third retired, about a third did find work in other states, and a third found other work in related projects in Florida. And they're rough numbers. But we have, in the 5 or 6 years since Shuttle retired, more than replaced the number of jobs that were lost in space. And we've done that because we've appealed to large aerospace companies and space companies producing infrastructure, whether it be satellites or spacecraft or rockets or components that support the industry. For the past 30 years, they've been putting their facilities in different parts of the country in order to obtain political diversity and strength in Washington. But as you enter into an era of tight federal budgets and sequestration, it becomes more important as they think about their next generation programs and products that they consolidate and that they make their production lines and their design and development processes more efficient. And so they're looking for not only brand new facilities that represent modern ways of manufacturing, but a consolidated supply chain. I can compliment the legislature and the governor's office in Florida for having created a business environment that has a low regulatory environment in terms of numbers of regulations, and worked hard to reduce those numbers, created a low tax state. We've got an outstanding workforce. I don't need to tell you about quality of life. And so Florida today is probably number one in attractiveness for manufacturing and design and engineering companies all around the country, and for that matter, the globe. And we've been successful in attracting them.
You're listening to AM 1060 WMEL. This is Donna Anselmo, host of Bold Talk Business Radio, in the studio with co-host Pete Anselmo and our special guest today, Frank DiBello, who is president and CEO of Space Florida. Frank, you were talking earlier about tightening of budgets, which to me tells me that people start to look inside. They sometimes would feel constrained by that. And yet you're in an industry and talking about an industry where innovation is really the watchword. So how do you see the power of innovation? What advice would you give to people who want to think differently, think out of the box, even in a time when funding might be tight for them? What are some of the principles of innovation that you think would drive space as well as any business?
Well, I think that innovation exists both in large and small companies, but when you really look at the companies that are creating new approaches and methods of doing things, it's especially in the space industry, it's been driven in large part by small companies who have an atmosphere willing to test and try and fail. They console failure as opposed to punish failure, and they learn from it and they try again and again and again. The industry is ripe. If you take a look at the space shuttle, it wasn't one large prime that built that. It was thousands of small companies that really contributed to the development and building of the space shuttle program or any other major large piece of hardware. But where the real growth in this industry and the innovation is occurring is in the thousands of small companies that are taking advantage of assets that are in space, like satellites and other spacecraft. And they're developing the applications that produce value-added information products for applications on the ground, whether it be for agriculture or tracking of automobiles or precision farming. There are all kinds of weather prediction, weather modeling. There are all kinds of things driven by space assets. And those small companies taking that data or the images and overlaying them into value-added information products, that is where you're seeing companies that are growing at 20% and 30% compound average annual growth rates. They're the rapidly growing companies that really represent the Apples and the Googles of tomorrow.
So you're saying that the companies that are able to deliver information in context are important to innovation?
Absolutely. And the companies that are looking for newer and better ways of doing things, and that is what has always driven the U.S. economy, and I think it's one of those things that will keep us very vibrant into the decades ahead.
Frank DiBello, working with companies that are, you're developing infrastructure on the Space Coast as well, and you're working with companies, when you have a project, and I know I've worked in with many companies and in various industries where there are kind of rules that you follow. You know, you do things a certain way and they're done a certain way because they've worked in the past. But when you're looking, and I'm kind of fixated on this innovation issue for the moment. When you're thinking innovation, are you going to be looking at, and do you recommend that people ask like more what-if questions, shift expectations, don't have rules? How do you get people to think out of the box?
Well, I think it starts with customers, and it starts with the marketplace, and understanding what the marketplace needs. And the marketplace is being served today, but there's always a better way to serve markets. And for companies that have a culture of looking for the better technology or the faster way of doing things or the more efficient process, the lower cost process, that's what tends to drive innovation. That's even true, though, when you're dealing with large products like rockets. If you take a look at what SpaceX and Blue Origin and other companies, even United Launch Alliance, are doing today, they're looking for ways to drive down costs and make space flight more efficient. And then space travel and access to space is still expensive. It's one of the limiting factors for more and more people and more assets getting up into orbit. But these companies are working to drive down those costs and to serve future markets.
Let's talk a little bit, Frank DiBello, about how Space Florida works with economic development, with the Economic Development Commission, and also with smaller entities that want to enter the space market and maybe need to put in a proposal or find a way to get funding.
Well, there's several things that we do to work with local economic development officials around the state. We are statewide in our focus. And typically, companies that want to locate here or expand here and thrive are looking for ways to place their footprint in Florida and to acquire the assets necessary to design, engineer, or manufacture in the most effective way. With the authority that we have to finance, build, own, and operate infrastructure, which is a spaceport authority function, we have worked with aerospace companies, large and small, and new space companies to look at their needs and to take infrastructure that either already exists and modernize it, commercialize it, or to build anew. And I can give you some examples. For Embraer in Melbourne, they have recently selected Melbourne as a site for a design and engineering center for design of next generation business jets. And Space Florida has assisted them in financing and managing that asset for them. For United Launch Alliance, on federal property, they're launching, I think, 13 of the 18 launches we had in the Cape last year. All of the infrastructure that is above the ground, and it's federal government ground, but all the infrastructure above the ground that they use, we own. We finance, build, and operate that in partnership with them. And that's true of a myriad of other examples for Boeing, for SpaceX, and others.
You have a finance background. How did you end up going from finance into space, or was it space and then into finance and back? How did that work?
Well, I spent a long career with KPMG managing their aerospace and space industry practice. And back in the 1980s, when I say space finance was just beginning, In fact, the impression of space finance in Wall Street was that it was the art of passing money around until it disappeared. What was happening is that we would go to Wall Street to finance a satellite and ask for $200 million for the satellite, another $80 million for the launch vehicle, and perhaps $20 million on top of that for insurance. And companies ran from the notion of that in the beginning, where today, as these models have proven themselves, they're lined up at the door to participate in financing of these assets. The assets are better understood, the uses of the assets are understood, and they're viewed as a very viable commercial model. Typically, you can, a satellite that has 200 transponders on board and finances for $200 million, you can lease those transponders for $1 million to $1.5 million per, which means you're paying for the satellite and a year and a half's worth of revenue, and then it's got a 10-year useful life. That's a very attractive economic model.
Absolutely. That's phenomenal.
And the model has to prove out to results. We've got a little over 2 minutes left, Frank. Before we come back for the second segment, which we're going to be doing more space talk, can you give our listeners a few examples of some of the contributions made by space programs to humanity?
Oh, there's no question. I think the space technologies have infused themselves into advanced medical devices, into better insights and uses of remote sensing information to assist farmers with agriculture. We're able to monitor the oceans and environmental conditions that are either satisfactory or not. There's new materials, a whole host of new materials. Contributions of microgravity research have impacted biolife sciences. And I can go on, but the biggest areas that we see in everyday life are that we are better interconnected than we have ever been in the future. That's going to be satellites and space-related assets will drive the interconnectivity of things.
Frank, I wanted to give you an opportunity to tell our listeners how they might contact you or contact Space Florida if they have some ideas about expanding a business or starting a new business.
Well, we have a website at spaceflorida.gov, and I'm happy to give out a phone number. It's 321-730-5301, and any of our staff will respond very quickly and in a way that will get help to the problem that's being presented.
So that's spaceflorida.gov. And the phone number one more time, Frank DiBella?
It's 321-730-5301.
Okay, we are going to be back after the break with more Bold Talk Business Radio, the show every Tuesday in the 1 to 2 hour where you hear insight, strategies, tips, and tools for success. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about some tips for innovating in your company, and we're going to be hearing more from Frank DiBella about what's going on in space tourism, space industry, commercialization, finance, and some of the goodies of the space program. So stay with us in the next half hour coming up after the news break. And this is Donna Anselmo, your show host, wishing you a very bold and wonderful day, thanking Pete Anselmo and Sarah Schell for being in the studio with us today with Frank DiBella. Hang with us. We are going to be back very shortly after the break.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
This is Donna Anselmo, back after the break, and we are talking Bold Talk. Bold Talk Business Radio with CEO and President Frank DiBella of Space Florida's organization, Pete Anselmo in the co-pilot seat today at the radio station. And we've been talking with Frank DiBella of Space Florida about the space industry. We're going to be talking about space tourism in a few moments. I promise every week on Bold Talk Business Radio that I'm going to give you a book recommendation that'll help you take your business to the next level. There are so many people out there who worked in the space industry, who have gone from the space industry into entrepreneurial ventures. And very often when people do that, they come away with a technical skill set. They know how to do their job really well, but they're less certain about how to run their business or even about how to get their new services in front of the right people. And when they get them in front of the right people, how do they transform themselves from a technical person into a consultant? So I want to recommend the book today by Peter Block called Flawless Consulting. I read this book many years ago in the 1990s, actually, when I started my own business, which was actually in 2000. And it was a guide to getting your expertise used. So this book will help you to learn some of the questions to ask, to figure out how to become authentic and feel really comfortable in your own skin when you're talking with people about your business and the services and the insights that you have to offer. It will help you to learn how to overcome resistance and ask all the right questions and much, much more. So I love this book, Peter Block, called Flawless Consulting. It was the second edition and a guide to getting your expertise used. So look it up on the internet and hopefully you'll be able to find a copy. It was really a great book and it was published by Josie Bass and Pfeiffer. So that said, let's Very get good. On to some space talk.
Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about was I hear about a We Are Go campaign. And I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit, Frank, as to what exactly that campaign is.
Well, I certainly can. It's something we're very proud of, and we coined the site and the phrase to bring attention to the fact that Florida is the only place in the world where you can reliably go to watch a launch. Global citizens from all over the world can come to Florida, which they are doing. We'll have over 100 million tourists. In fact, we just passed the 100 million tourist mark in Florida. But as they look at Florida, we want them to think about coming to the Cape Canaveral spaceport to see a launch. Today, we're launching at a rate of more than two per month. I think we had 17 launches last year, and we were among mm-hmm. the busiest spaceports in the world. This next year, I expect us to launch anywhere from 24 to 30 times. And we will be this busiest spaceport in the world. So is something we've drawn attention to.
Is there any notion to maybe developing more viewing areas or closer or viewing areas that people can come to and maybe even sell tickets to?
Well, I think there are a number of companies that are looking for how to increase and respond to the increasing number of tourists that are coming to Florida to view a launch, and also to package other things with that so that it becomes a major driver for tourism in this part of the state. But other things are happening as well. Right now, we come to observe a launch. As we proceed into the next decade, I think you're going to be able to come and participate in a launch. And we're working with a number of companies that are actually looking for at ways to democratize space for the average global citizen astronaut who wants to come and fly to space.
How far away are we in that endeavor, do you think?
Well, some of those companies, I think, are going to be able to begin flying in the next year or two. There's a company called Worldview that is actually building a pressurized cabin that can take passengers up to space, the edge of space, in a balloon, and then bring them back down. So it's a long, leisurely, non-aggressive way to get up there, but it may well in the future have a martini bar and other things that make it very pleasant on the
way
up and on the way down.
We'll have people getting married in space, right?
You will. There are companies today that are flying with zero gravity experiences where you'll go up in a modified standard aircraft that does parabolic flying and gives you 20 to 30 seconds of microgravity experience. Virgin Galactic is developing a spacecraft that will take people up to the edge of space and then return to Earth in a spacecraft.
It's like Disney, but it's for real.
That is correct. And there is an organization which I chair in Washington called the Commercial Spaceflight Federation, and there are some 75 companies that belong to that organization, all of whom are in one way or another focused on commercial spaceflight. So it is something that we will see on a more regular basis in this next decade, and certainly 10 years out, you'll see regular flights.
Very interesting. That's going to be fun. And what do we see in terms of the development of the spaceport of the future here? Where do we see that?
Well, I think that both the three partners in the Cape Canaveral Spaceport have worked hard to ready the spaceport for the future. Mm-hmm. The Air Force is the principal land owner, along with NASA. They own the ground that has been the historical spaceport, and the Air Force launch pads today are supporting the majority of the launches that occurred last year at Launch Complex 40 or Launch Complex 41, occasionally Launch Complex 37. Space Florida partners with the Air Force and NASA to develop the infrastructure that commercial companies can use. And I think we've been very successful at building infrastructure that is useful, as well as taking infrastructure that both the Air Force and NASA have had that no longer have a mission need and can be commercialized for commercial companies. One example is what used to be the Orbital Processing Facility, number 3, they referred to it as, and it was the facility that the shuttle, after it landed, was brought back to, and workers climbed all over it to ready it again for reflight. Space Florida secured access to that facility under a long-term lease with NASA and commercialized it for use by Boeing to build its next-generation commercial space transportation vehicle in their Starliner spacecraft, which is the U.S. answer to flying astronauts once again to the International Space Station. Both Boeing is building that spacecraft here. SpaceX is building a separate spacecraft, and they'll be flying from the Cape to perform that same function.
Excellent. So to our listeners out there, if you have some ideas or if you have some concepts that you want to maybe talk to someone about, I think that the people to contact are the people here at Space Florida. Frank, would you give us another how people can contact you?
Certainly. It's www.spaceflorida.gov is our website. And we also do a number of things to reach out to small companies, both here and around the globe. We conduct an innovation catalyst forum in different parts of the state, where we assemble. We have a call for business plans to be submitted to us, and we assemble finance, banking, legal, and other kinds of talent to review those plans and to narrow them down to a top group. The last time, I think we had 110 applications, and we selected 20 to present. And during basically a venture forum, we had those companies present in a short period of time their business case, and we gave prizes for the best business plan and the second best business plan. What's important about those is that it's a ready source of professional assistance to those companies to shape their message. But then these catalysts have generated some almost $70 million worth of venture capital flowing to those companies.
Excellent.
Space is a very competitive industry. I think you were telling me earlier that total industry dollars, probably about $334 billion,
I think you said.
That is correct. And the implication in Florida is approximately?
We calculate a revenue base of about $18 billion coming from the space and aerospace-related industry, and that goes deep into the supply chain, but mm-hmm. that's pretty significant.
And being that it is a competitive industry, can you talk a little bit about the strengths of the Florida companies in this region and what the Florida companies and projects bring to the program? Where are we most competitive, in other words?
I think there are several things that Florida brings to the companies and these companies bring to the economic well-being of the state. We have a very strong university and private college system and a community college system that supports growth of the workforce. One of the attractive features of Florida for industry is the workforce that we have. And that's an abundant workforce where you don't have to locate here and then engage in a zero-sum game to acquire your talent by taking it away from somebody else that's here. Secondly, the business environment in Florida really helps both small and large companies thrive. As I mentioned earlier, the state has worked hard to reduce the number of regulations affecting both development and manufacturing. This year, before the legislature, there's a piece of legislation that will permanently eliminate the sales tax on manufactured goods. This is significant, and it's an example of what we do to help companies come here and thrive. Going the other way, though, I'll just comment that we have a strong capability in different parts of the state that nurture the space industry and nurture those companies. The simulation and modeling capability that Florida is well known for in Central Florida, the aviation support and spacecraft support operations that are around the Cape is another area where we have strong capabilities. So you're seeing future companies want to locate here to take advantage of simulation modeling, the digital domain technologies, all of these support that culture of innovation that they need for their future.
We're speaking with our guest expert today, Frank DiBello, President and CEO of Space Florida. We're talking about the culture of innovation, space industry, space competition. And so I want to ask you, Frank DiBello, what do we do to get ready now to make the spaceport of the future here?
Well, I think that we continue to work in partnership with our DOD and other civil agency partners, NASA, NOAA, and others that are here, the FAA, to treat the future as a marketplace that needs to be responded to. Because we're not alone. There is competition out there, and other states are rapidly developing capabilities to compete with what Florida has pretty much dominated with respect to the launch function. So we need to make the spaceport of the future very responsive to commercial markets, efficient in what it's doing, and not be driven so much by the processes and environment of the past, which was largely government-dominated. We need to be responsive as a commercial spaceport.
Can you tell me what some of the features of a spaceport are? What does it mean to have a spaceport?
Well, you need, if you think of us as Orlando International Airport or any other airport, a spaceport needs to be an enabler for companies or federal government to come and conduct their operations. So that means we need infrastructure, workforce, utilities, consumables that are available on an efficient and commercial pricing basis. You need access so that they can bring their customers as they're going to fly. You need processes that ensure public safety as well as safety of the hardware that is flying. We have those things. We need to streamline our operational methods to meet the spaceport of the future.
It sounds to me that there is tremendous opportunity here for so many types of businesses to be involved with the spaceport.
Well, I think that's very true, and we must recognize that the marketplace is changing. We used to launch satellites, and this is the only place in the U.S. where we were launching humans. But in the future, we're going to see commercial companies both transporting humans and cargo to space, and as NASA reaches further out to go to the moon and asteroids and Mars, they're turning over, as well we should, low Earth orbit operations to commercial companies. And that means going up to the International Space Station, going to other platforms to conduct satellite repair or servicing, to perhaps go to platforms that are in space to do research. There'll be some habitats that are played into a low Earth orbit so that tourists or researchers can go up to laboratories and conduct their research or enjoy the space adventure associated with tourism. And it'll be commercial companies that are driving that, and our spaceport has to be responsive to those needs.
That's so exciting.
Absolutely.
And on a fun note, I saw The Martian over the weekend. And as you're talking, it's making me think about the fact that the first step for all of this really was fantasy. You know, that it was just a concept in somebody's mind that we could get out to space. And then somebody actually believed it could happen, and someone made it happen. It's pretty amazing.
Well, I think it's mankind's nature to reach out beyond what we know and our borders. The spirit of exploration has always driven explorers to go to new places, to go across the sea, and to reach out beyond Earth. And that's followed oftentimes by a period of exploitation, as we learn that there are valued assets out there. There are things that can be exploited for the common good. And as I mentioned, I think that pushing the technological edge to do the difficult things that the space environment requires brings back to Earth benefits as we understand Earth better and understand our universe better, but also engenders that growth in this, the culture of innovation that we infuse into every other product and area of life.
Do you see much of a change? It strikes me that some of the initial projects, Apollo and some of the early projects, almost absolutely demanded that it be a government function because of the amounts of money involved. Do you find that's changing? Do you see more funding available through commercial aspects than available through the government?
I think there is more funding available from commercial markets for commercial things. Mm-hmm. Investors like to invest in something that's going to bring about a return on investment. And that is their driver, and that's usually driven by large commercial markets. So it's not inappropriate that government fund the things that government should properly do. National security is one of those things that we've done very well, and that is truly a government function. And the Air Force in this community has done an outstanding job of supporting the national mission in that regard. NASA has always been the agency charged with space exploration. And so the moon program and the building of the International Space Station were appropriately federal government activities. But now that we turn to increasing commercial capabilities to go into low Earth orbit and perhaps exploit our capabilities collectively to do things, federal government should look to go to the future, not so much focus on the commercial activity.
Mm-hmm. I spoke earlier on Bold Talk Business Radio. This is Donna Anselmo, your show host, about bringing you some tips on innovation for your business. Some time ago, I wrote a news article with the help of a friend of mine, and I want to give credit where credit is due, to Phil Bryden, who was a program manager in America's National Space Program, and he now works for Craig Technologies. But at the time, he gave me a few tips that I want to share with you. Seven tips, steps to innovation. One, allow people to challenge the status quo in your organization without fear. Two, delegate business and projects down to appropriate levels. Three, bar micromanagement. Get out of the way and open space for people to think and create. Foster accountability for each person's work. When people feel accountable to what they have to do, they're going to really open their own mind to how to get the job done well. Let targets and end state expectations replace rules and procedures. That was number five. Number six is encourage a fast, competitive spirit, as well as peer comparison to get the juices flowing. And 7, finally, demonstrate an atmosphere of trust without blame. I think that was something you, Frank DiBello, talked about earlier.
I clearly think that the willingness to continue to try to improve, to create a culture of rewarding improvement, consoling failure, not punishing it, but encouraging people to take the risks to study what's going on, improve product. Those things are all critical. Businesses have to focus on markets, and innovation's important in staying ahead of markets and constantly thinking through what the marketplace is looking for. We look for companies that are not only innovators, but that are market responsive. It starts with market and knowing that there is a market, and then knowing how to market, and then more importantly, how to execute when that follows.
Well, I want to thank you, Frank DiBello, for being with Pete Anselmo and I on Bold Talk Business Radio today. You also mentioned something that I think is so important as a marketing tip for people. You said we have to look at the future as a market, which to me makes me want to remind people that when they're thinking about their marketing plan and their marketing efforts, they need to look. You need to think about the trends that are happening in your industry and related industries that can affect the way that you do business and the way that you go to market. So study the trends. And the best way to do that is read the newspaper, watch the news, follow the people who are making stuff happen. This is Donna Anselmo on Bold Talk Business Radio, inviting you to tune in again next Tuesday at 1 p.m. We are going to have Dr. Paul Lee from California talk to us about digital healthcare and how doctors are moving to telemedicine, which many years ago I just thought was fantasy, but it's actually happening. So next week we'll be talking about that. So we're going to go from space to telemedicine. Thank you so much, Frank DiBello, for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.
And look up more information at spaceflorida.gov.